This morning, I'd like for you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 3. This morning, we're going to actually be looking at the entirety of the third chapter of Acts and talking about the spreading flame of the gospel. You know, weeks ago when we began this series, Ignite, we talked about that we want to be a part of an authentic movement of followers of Jesus Christ. And we're desiring that over the next 5 years that we would reach 1,000 people with the gospel and release 200 equipped next generation leaders into the life of the church. And I don't want us to miss the opportunity that God has given us. In 2006, Facebook was only 2 years old, and 23-year-old Mark Zuckerberg had about 8 million people on Facebook, and MySpace had 100 million participants. And at that time, Yahoo offered Mark Zuckerberg $1 billion for Facebook. And everybody said, man, you need to take that. Well, Yahoo fell on a little bit of a hard time. Their stock dropped. And so even though they had a handshake, Yahoo then lowered the offer to Mark Zuckerberg and only offered him $800,000, for they lowered their offer. And Zuckerberg backed out of the deal. Today, it is estimated that Yahoo is worth about $5 billion and Facebook is worth $320 billion. Yahoo missed an opportunity. How many of you have ever had an iPod? How many of you use iTunes Music? How many of you use Spotify? Okay, some of you. How many of you don't have one idea of what I'm talking about? You still got a little 45 twirling with a needle scratching. A lot of people think that Steve Jobs created the iPod. He didn't. Actually, it was an engineer by the name of Tony Fadell that would at one time worked for the company Philips, presented his idea of digital music, which was already in play, but not in the way that Fadell had designed it, to Philips. They said no. And then he went to another company by the name of Real Networks, and they said no, and it was Steve Jobs that said yes. And at one time, iTunes Music had 80% of all digital music sales anywhere. Philips and Real Networks probably missed an opportunity. Have you ever looked back and seen opportunities that you missed in your life? Have you? I don't want us and I don't want you to miss any opportunity that God has given us. The resurrection had occurred. The Spirit had been poured out on believers in the church. Many had been converted after hearing the gospel proclaimed. And now when we come to Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are going up to the temple at about 3 p.m. The Bible says it is the hour of prayer. And in this moment, they encountered a man who had been lame from his birth. And Peter and John responded to a God-given opportunity and they shared the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the word of God, Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. Now the gate Beautiful was one of the nine gates into the temple. It is believed that this gate was beautiful because it was made of bronze, and it was much more elaborate and beautiful than the other gates. And it was believed that it was one of the gates that went from the court of the Gentiles into the court and through the court of the women. Now, there have been different scholars that debated. Some think this was the gate Nicanor, and others think it was another gate. But nevertheless, it was known for its absolute beauty. Follow along in what the scripture says. In order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. Now, when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I don't possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk." Now in your Bible, write out Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. Because Hebrews tells us that in the early church, God gave supernatural sign gifts to the apostles to carry on and carry out their ministry to validate their preaching of the resurrection of the Christ who had performed all these other miraculous healings. And so this was not unusual. This was the fact that in the early church, the apostles had been given miraculous gifts, according to Hebrews 2:4. So in verse 7, seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood upright and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, while he was clinging to Peter and John at the people, they all ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon. So obviously, Peter and John had left the inner court. They had come through the court of the women and the court of the Gentiles, and they were going out to Solomon's portico. And the people were gathered. There was this big crowd gathering full of amazement. But when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, "Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses. And on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know. And the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all." Now I'm going to stop reading at that point, and I'll pick up in verse 17 a little bit later into the message. But I want you to realize that it's in this passage that Peter and John responded to a God-given opportunity to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see what happens. They're going up to the temple in the hour of prayer. They encounter a beggar who has been lame, and everybody knows who he is. He's been brought there every day at the Gate Beautiful, where thousands of people would be going in and out, begging for alms, and God uses the apostles to perform a miracle of healing. Do you believe God still heals today? Sure he does. And as a result of that, Peter takes the opportunity after a crowd has gathered, and he preaches his second sermon. And I'm going to go through that second sermon in a moment. And when he goes through that second sermon, he declares to them the truth and the reality of the resurrected Christ. Now, I want you to think about this one key thought this morning. Peter and John responded to a God-given opportunity to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're living in challenging days. And it would be very easy, because of events like what happened this week, for you to get down, to get discouraged, to get weighted down by the worries of life and to be consumed by the cares of the day, or to somehow put blinders on or earmuffs on and block out the sound of the noise that is around you. But God has not called us to do that. God has called us to fan the flames of the gospel and see that there is ignited this movement of followers who are spreading the gospel, and people everywhere are coming to saving faith. Do you believe this? So two things I want to show you out of this text. First of all, I believe the scripture says that you and I must be sensitive to gospel opportunities. You've got to be sensitive to the gospel opportunities that God gives us. Describing the experience of this man, I like what John Phillips has said. The poor lame man is a cameo of the human race. Men are born lame, with no standing before God. They stumble, they fall through life. They have nothing. The very best person in the world outside of Christ is a hopeless spiritual cripple, born that way. The wealthiest man is a spiritual beggar. This man lay at the Gate Beautiful begging for money, but Peter and John gave him so much more. I'm telling you that all of the cries of this world, all of the angry shouts, and all of the absolute incredible tragedies that are occurring and the perversion that you see everywhere that you are, every bit of that is a crying, lost, hurting world that is in desperate need of a Savior whose name is Jesus. And you and I cannot shrink from this opportunity in our lifetime. We can't shrink from what God has given us and cower in fear or get in a corner and hide. We have got to be the salt and we have got to be the light, and we have got to be both intentional and we have got to take opportunities that are even unintentional to seize the very day that God has given us to make a difference with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, surely people were amazed at what happened. Here was a guy that they had seen for years laying at the Gate Beautiful, begging for alms, and now he's walking. He's clinging to the apostles. He's shouting and giving praise to God. Aren't you glad he wasn't shouting and giving praise to Peter and John, but he was giving praise to Almighty God? And Peter recognizes that this crowd is gathering. He sees all of these Jewish people in the portico of Solomon who are amazed at what has happened. And he seizes the opportunity that God has given him to share Christ. You and I have to be sensitive to the gospel opportunities that God gives us. I'll never forget the day that our youth pastor's wife at a church I was pastoring in Tennessee came to me. She was weeping. And I said, what's wrong? I mean, she could hardly talk to me. They were in the midst of remodeling their house, and they had had a crew of people working for weeks in their home, and she shared with me that the previous day, that there was specifically one young man that she noticed that during lunch, he went and sat in a car by himself, and he seemed to be very isolated and alone. And she said, all day long while they were working and I was home, I sensed the Lord telling me to go and share the gospel with him. And I put it off and got busy with other things and did other things. And she said, I kept sensing God telling me to go and share the gospel with that young man. And I put it off and I put it off till finally the workday ended. And I said, I'll tell you what, tomorrow when I see him again, I'll talk to him about Jesus. The next day, the crew showed up, but the young man was nowhere to be found. So this young lady went to the supervisor over the crew and said, I'm sorry, but there was a young man that's been working here, and I wanted to speak with him. Can you tell me if he's going to be coming back? And the supervisor looked at her with very sad eyes, and he said, well, he's not. I'm sorry to tell you that he left work yesterday and he went home and he committed suicide. And she was broken. I ministered to her and we talked about God redeeming the day and the time. And I share that with you to say you and I must be sensitive to God-given opportunities to share the gospel. Because this is our day of opportunity. We don't have to be overwhelmed. We don't have to be overwhelmed with fear, or we don't have to be overwhelmed with the troubles of our time. What we ought to see is that there is a hurting world. I want to tell you something. People may say they're not interested in God. People may say they're not interested in Christianity, but there is an emptiness in the human heart. There is a darkness in the soul of anyone that is lost. And no matter what they say to you, no matter how they reject you, no matter how they push away the very things of God, the only hope that any one of them have is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't miss the opportunities that God puts in your life. Don't miss them. So we learn from them to be sensitive to gospel opportunities. But not only does the Bible tell us that we need to be sensitive to gospel opportunities, but we also need to be specific when sharing and presenting the gospel. Now, I'm grateful that people invite others to church. I'm grateful that people encourage people to attend. Next Sunday is going to be pretty awesome around here. Please park at the South Campus, as many of you as can. And don't come in and sit on the end of the row, because we're going to have you move anyway. Amen? But look what Peter does. Several things I want to share with you that I think you need to see. One of those is that in Peter's second sermon, Peter was extremely specific about the way he presented Christ to them. First of all, he made a point of connection. In verses 12 and 13, he says in this passage, look what it says. He says, when Peter saw this, what did he see? All the people running together. He said, men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we have made him walk? It is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. So what was it that he did? The first thing he did was he made a connection between the situation and those Jewish people that would have been very familiar with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he drew them in. He made a point of connection. For some of you, a point of connection is your kid's baseball team that you're talking about the team. For some of you, it's at work and your connection is the project that you're working on together. Or maybe it's a similar team favorite, or maybe it's talking about a song that you just heard on the radio or a news pro, whatever it is, there are plenty of points of connection for you to begin a gospel conversation. But Peter quickly moved from a point of connection to a point of conviction. In verse 14, he said, "But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses." Now, what Peter does is Peter wants them to understand that they are guilty of the sin of crucifying the Messiah. Now, understand what I'm saying to you. For a person to come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, they have to be brought to a place of conviction through the Holy Spirit that often comes through the Word of God that says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. When you are specific in sharing the gospel, we're not sharing the gospel when we're just talking about church. We're not specifically sharing the gospel when we're just talking about what we do in church. The gospel, the good news, is about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the fact that every single human being that has ever been born has been born in sin. We have all sinned, and we all need a Savior. And apart from the saving work of Jesus Christ, we have no hope. You say, "Well, Daryl, I talk to a lot of smart people, and they have all these questions, and how do I explain?" You don't have to explain everything. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe." There is inherently within the message of the gospel the power to bring through the working of the Holy Spirit the conviction that is necessary. I realize people may disagree. I realize people may reject what you say, but they will have to deal with it in the reality that they have heard the truth, and the Spirit of God will reveal to them their need for Christ. Paul brought them to a point of connection, a point of conviction about our guilt and about his grace. You don't want to leave somebody in guilt. You want to help them know there is grace. Amen? But he also brought them to a point of consideration in verses 16 through 18. "On the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know. And the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all." Now look in verse 17 and 18. "Now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance." Consider the fact, that's what he's saying. "Consider that just as your rulers did, so also, but the things which God announced beforehand, consider," Paul is saying, "consider by the mouth of all the prophets that as Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled." In other words, Paul said, "Look, I just want you to consider the facts." When I talk with people, one of the things that I often find is that people have made up their own idea about Christianity and Christ without ever really considering the facts of Christianity. One of the things that you can help people do, if they don't want to talk to you, all you can say to them is, "Would you at least consider studying the facts of biblical Christianity and asking, is it or is it not true?" I don't have to prove to anybody. It's the work and the power of the Holy Spirit that draws men to the convicting reality of the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I can't miss an opportunity, because there just might be somebody that God puts in our path who needs Jesus. He brought them to a point of connection and conviction and consideration. But in verses 19 through 22, he brings them to a point of clarification. Look what he says. Therefore, you need to repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord and that he may send Jesus, the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient times. And then what he does is he goes through Deuteronomy chapter 18. Those verses that Peter quotes in this passage is back from Deuteronomy chapter 18, which was a well-known messianic passage to the Jewish people. Now realize, Peter is preaching to Jewish people. He's communicating with people that would have understood the context of what he was saying. So when you talk with people and you make a connection with them, and you try to help them understand that they're guilty of sin, but God's grace is greater than our sin, as you try to get them to consider the truths of the gospel, you want to bring them to a point of clarification that they must personally respond to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in these next verses, verses 23 through 26, Paul brings them to a point of clarification and contemplation. Look what he says. Verse 23, every soul that does not heed the prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Everyone that does not heed this message will be destroyed from among the people. Verse 25, it is you who are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. For you first, he's looking at these Jewish peoples and he's saying, the Messiah came to you. And God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways. He wanted them to contemplate the condition of their soul and whether or not they would turn to the Savior who rose from the dead. We have to be sensitive to gospel opportunities, but we also have to be very specific when we present the gospel to people. People have to know that they're a sinner and that Jesus is the Savior, and that if they will repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they can be saved. In this dark, benighted world, where there is so much tragedy and trouble on every turn, God has given us this moment in our lives, this moment in the history of our church, to rise up. And when everyone else is crying, whoa, 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 we are getting to cry out, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I want you to think about some steps that you need to take. You can go on and get the notes from online and you can write these things down, or you can get the notes from online and do this in your devotional time tonight or tomorrow. I want you to write down the name of one person you know who needs Christ. I want you to write down a missed opportunity that you might have had this past week to share Christ. And I want you to ask God to redeem that opportunity for you. I want you to write down two places of what we might call natural opportunities to share Christ. Where are two places that you live, where you go, or where you play that may be opportunities that God gives you to build relationship with people who are far from God? And finally, I want you to prayerfully ask God to help you to be sensitive to gospel opportunities. Would you stand this morning? Several years ago when I was a seminary student, I heard Dr. David Eldredge share in chapel. They always had a missions emphasis in chapel. And Dr. Eldredge had taken some folks over to Africa to a specific country, and they were going over to train people and to minister and to also share the gospel. And every day while he was teaching in the church was located next to a cemetery, and there was a great plague and problems occurring in this nation at the time. And Dr. Eldredge said that he could hear the literal wailing and crying of people in the graveyard as he taught the word of God. One day they went out into a village, and after he had presented the gospel, one of the men in the village came to him and asked him, said, are you telling me that there's a way I can know God? Dr. Eldredge said, yes. He said, are you telling me that if I don't know God through Jesus Christ, that I will not go to heaven, but I will go to a place called hell? And Dr. Eldredge said, yes, that's right. And the man looked at Dr. Eldredge and he said, then I have a question for you, sir. If this is true, why have you not come sooner, and why have more of you not come? Please, let's fan the flame of the gospel. Let's ignite this movement of followers that are authentically, passionately devoted to telling our family, our friends, and our neighbors about Jesus. Let's be sensitive to gospel opportunities. And let's be specific when we share the gospel. Here's the invite. Do you know Christ? Have you been born again? This morning, if you need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to come and we'll speak with you and help you make sure you understand what it means to know Christ. Some of you need to join this church. You've been coming for a long time. You need to join today and say, I want to be a part of the team. Some of you here this morning need to come to this altar and cry out and pray for a loved one or a friend that is lost, that God would see them saved. Is that your heart today? I want to ask you not to leave this morning. Sometimes on Sundays, it seems like people think when I get done and we're going through the invitation, people think it's over. It's not over. Please don't leave unless you just absolutely have to get to the restroom. God in heaven, I'm asking, as we sing this song, would you move in power? Help us to fan the flames of the gospel. I pray in Jesus' name.